by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass smack dab in the middle of it. Grass smack dab in the middle. We are grass smack dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've had a hell of a week here in Texas, and we've had the power cut back, or we had rolling blackouts. And it looks like ERCOT might have been up to some really conspiratorial stuff, much like Enron did. You remember what they did with California one year? They ripped off the Californians on an energy scam. Well, Alex Jones has had enough. And we're going to play about 13, 14 minutes of his program yesterday. You can go to band.video to see the whole program. Here we go with Alex, and he's venting his anger about what really went on with this energy crisis in Texas. First, I'm going to say that Greg Reese is going to give us a really synopsis, but also introducing some very, very important executive orders and orders that President Trump signed, and this is very important. But we're going to play this first, and then we'll follow that with Alex Jones and go from there. Thank you for listening.
On May 1st of 2020, President Trump signed Executive Order 13920, securing the United States bulk power system. In the executive order, Trump stated that he found that foreign adversaries have been creating and exploiting vulnerabilities in the United States bulk power system, and that the bulk power system is a target of those seeking to commit malicious acts against the United States and its people, because a successful attack on our bulk power system would present significant risks to our economy, human health and safety, and would render the United States less capable of acting in defense of itself and its allies. Power transformers are the backbone of our electrical grid, and about 85% of our transformers are coming from abroad, including Communist China, who 9 years ago bragged that they supported 10% of New York City's electrical load. On his very first day in the White House, President Joe Biden signed the executive order on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis. In Section 7C of this order, it is written that the executive order of May 1st, 2020, securing the United States bulk power system, is hereby suspended for 90 days. On February 12th, ahead of Winter Storm Uri, Governor Greg Abbott declared a state of disaster due to the imminent threat of loss of life due to prolonged freezing temperatures. With several board members living out of state, including one in Canada, with backgrounds in economics and environmentalism rather than energy, ERCOT manages over 90% of the Texas electrical grid. On February 14th, ERCOT requested that the Secretary of Energy issue an order authorizing the use of energy currently restricted due to carbon emissions. Biden's Department of Energy responded in an official document which prioritizes the environment over human life. During a state emergency, the federal government incentivized ERCOT to shut off the power by charging them 18,000% higher than regular prices. And when the record freezing temperatures reached Texas, ERCOT shut off power to neighborhoods it deemed non-essential, thereby murdering people in their own beds. There has never been a time in American history where this has happened before. They have already succeeded at making us so stupid that we believe there is no such thing as sexual gender, and made us so weak that we allow them to steal an election before our very eyes. They will now put us on endless climate lockdowns, shutting off our power grid to kill us and break our will. As the men continue to do nothing, the women will grow to resent them, thereby destroying the family bond. So long as we continue to do nothing, we will be murdered or broken and brought to heel, where we will beg for whatever scraps our degenerate masters choose to offer us. And if we refuse to stand up, then we deserve every bit of what's coming. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
I have the giant news, but no one cares, of course. I'm serious. I'm not throwing a fit here. Just no one cares. Maybe if I freak out, maybe if I cut a few fingers off with loppers, you people go, and this is really important. This will bring down the globalists. Here, let me cut my pinky off. Oh, now you pay attention? The Department of Energy on record told Texas, you can't produce more power. I have the damn document with a direct link to them. They'll just have Snopes say it isn't real. Hell, we won't even be able to pull it up in there, probably. I was even mad at myself, too, because I already knew there was a Department of Energy directive not to turn the power up. But instead, I just told you that instead of going and getting the document. One of our producers, Scott, God bless him, did go get the document. But see, I'm even mad at myself. It's like, oh, I just tell you there's an agreement and an order and a law, which I knew, but the public doesn't listen to that. You have to see the document. Well, you will see it. You will read it and know why I'm so pissed off. I'm under attack, and so are you, and I don't want to put up with it anymore, and I won't put up with these people. Bunch of damn criminals. ERCOT anticipates this order may result in exceedance of emissions of carbon dioxide and water, of sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, mercury, and carbon monoxide emissions, as well as wastewater release limits. Another reason the water plants got shut down. To minimize adverse environmental impacts, the order limits operation of dispatch units. Get to look at that definition, what that means, to the times and with the parameters determined by ERCOT with reliability purposes. And that all speaks to the law and what they're allowed to turn on. Did let them turn the coal power plants up, folks. Part B, to minimize adverse environmental. We're going to come back and read all this. It gets really bad right here. It's really, really bad. But the point is, the feds are in control. The feds wouldn't let them up the power till the power grid was going down, and then limited what they could do, and then sat back and said, Texas is a bunch of idiots, a bunch of hayseeds. Going, I'm watching Hee-Haw right now. Joe Biden going to take me over. Joe Biden knows how to cook a possum. Oh, yeah. All right, the United States is being taught to be a third world country. We're being taught to have no borders and a collapsing power grid. It's all by design. It's all public. And I told you in the last few years and told you in the last week that I've got a lot of sources in the power grid, a lot of people working at power plants. It's all well known that the federal government orders them not to turn up capacity, and they've got to get the government to authorize it. And I told you this on Monday. I told you this on Sunday. I told you this on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. And I just got hit before the show like a ton of bricks as we launched the Alex Jones show here on this Friday, February 19th, global transmission. And it just hit me when I was given a Department of Energy document that's public that no one's going to care. No one cares. I mean, it doesn't matter that it says you're not allowed to produce energy and you've got to keep your power cut off. It doesn't matter you said you can buy energy from outside the state so they can Enron scam us and charge us up to 10,000 times the amount. This is smoking gun stuff. And then I've got a bunch of other big, giant smoking guns. But I'm too angry to do the show right now. I am too damn angry to do this broadcast right now. And there's a lot of other stuff going on, so I'm going to just, and I got to go find my stack of news from yesterday. I got to do a lot of stuff around here. I watched somebody walk out with my stack yesterday. Everybody's like, oh, no, you've got the stack. Well, I'll go get it myself then. But and I'm not even bitching anymore. I just can't do this 6-7 days a week. And just with the public like zombies everywhere, just like walking into globalist machine gun fire. And then that weird reanimated corpse, Biden stumbling around up there. Just all of it. It's a joke. because people are unconscious from watching TV and playing on their phones all day. It manipulates all the dopamine receptors where people think that's the real world, and the real world, they're all, ooh, 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 like this. And I just don't even want to be around this anymore. Maybe Bill Gates is right. Just kill everybody. But use neutron bombs at least and kill them quick, man. Don't mutate them and torture them and dumb them down. But Bill Gates likes that. Bill Gates, get a deal with the globalists and start neutron bombing the public. Just neutron bomb everybody, then we don't kill the Earth and the humans are gotten rid of. Maybe he's right. Maybe I should go work for Gates and just come up with a neutron bomb plan. I know Bertrand Russell had one before they called it a neutron bomb. Maybe that's the answer. Got to start over. You know, God did it, so I guess they're just imitating God. Maybe I should just salute Bill Gates right now on air. Pledge allegiance to him. Nobody else cares. At least he actually wants to run something. Man, I tell you. All right, I have the giant news. No one cares, of course. I'm serious. I'm not throwing a fit here. Just no one cares. Maybe if I freak out, maybe if I cut a few fingers off with loppers, you people go, and this is really important. This will bring down the globalists. Here, let me cut my pinky off. Oh, now you pay attention? The Department of Energy on record told Texas, you can't produce more power. I have the damn document with a direct link to them. They'll just have Snopes say it isn't real. Hell, we won't even be able to pull it up in there, probably. I was even mad at myself, too, like, because I already knew there was a Department of Energy directive not to turn the power up. But instead, I just told you that instead of going and getting the document. One of our producers, Scott, God bless him, did go get the document. But see, I'm even mad at myself. It's like, oh, I just tell you there's an agreement and an order and a law, which I knew, but the public doesn't listen to that. You have to see the document. Well, you will see it. You will read it and know why I'm so pissed off. I'm under attack, and so are you, and I don't want to put up with it anymore, and I won't put up with these people. Bunch of damn criminals. I expect to see articles saying Alex Jones wants Bill Gates to kill the world's population with neutron bombs. That's called devil's advocate. I don't want that. But if you sit there and you say you don't want people to starve to death and have mass cannibalism, no one cares. But if you say, as society collapses under Agenda 2030, and the UN says billions are planned to starve to death the next decade, you're going to have a lot of cannibalism and breakdown of society in the third world, I got to think about eating my neighbors. I got to think about hauling them up with a chain, chopping them up to eat them. And I said before I said that, this is a Jonathan Swift allegory of a modest proposal where they were treating Irish so bad, and he was part Irish and English, and he was an aristocrat. And he wrote a big essay, a modest proposal, saying these Irish need to stop bitching about their kids starving to death. And they'd also put them in poorhouses, basically slave camps, to work off their debts after the potato famine. They said, why don't they start plumping up their children and then we'll sell them to English lords and ladies to be roasted and eaten. Of course, they got satire back at the time, and it really woke a lot of people up, and they realized how callous they were letting the Irish just starve to death. But the left, of course, took it and said, oh, my God, Jones wants to really eat his neighbors. And by the way, I knew they'd do that. I did it on purpose. I didn't lie. I said it was satire in the same segment. I knew they would take that, put it out and get 50 million views, send us a giant audience to find the real show. But what you saw last two segments was not me manipulating the left. That was me having a real meltdown. And I apologize to the crew. They're great. This is the best crew I've ever had. They've sat up here and went through hell to be here to run the show with the power off and all the rest of the insanity. But I'll just tell you, before I went live on air, I got a bunch of extra news that I already was told by a very close person to me. And I dropped the ball on Monday and just said, I've been told by inside sources in Texas power plants that the feds ordered them not to increase power. I should have followed up on that. I already knew there was those agreements. I already knew about those documents. I should have gotten the current ones. I should have found out, well, let me see the directive. Instead, I just went and poured another glass of wine and sat by the fire in the dark. And then, son of a bitch, a whistleblower inside the Department of Energy contacted someone that works here and said, why is Jones not covering this? No one else is. And I read it 20 minutes before I went on air, and I already knew all that was real. We went and checked. It's on the Department of Energy website, and it was like being punched in the chest and the stomach over and over again to read, for sure they raped us, for sure they're doing it. I am so freaking pissed, man. I can't take much more of these people. And the way it's written, it's all slimy. So I tried to get focused. I tried to get ready. I tried to come on, do a good job. And I blew up the last 2 seconds. But what I said was true. I can get more done if I call a bunch of influential people I know and tell them to look into this and let them break it, because I don't care about breaking it, and then it will actually have an effect. Instead, the audience is great, but I say so much stuff, people just hear it and just think, oh, that's another thing Alex just said. No, it's not. It's the biggest frickin' smoking gun I ever saw, to quote Robert Duvall in Network. It's a big-titted hit, okay? I mean, this thing would hurt them so frickin' bad. I hate the New World Order. I can't stand Bill Gates. I can't stand Warren Buffett. I can't stand Ted Turner. I can't stand Barack Obama. I can't stand them anymore. I want them off my back now, you mothers. And then I sit there and I read exactly what I was told by my family that works in these damn plants, that they're ordered to go at zero or quarter power under the frickin' federal government, because Biden put them back under the son of a bitch 2 weeks ago. Now, we all knew that, and everybody talked about it and said, oh, did the Department of Energy do this? We have the frickin' document. Now you see why, baby, I shouldn't be on air. Let's just say this. I could probably win a boxing match right now. That's why I put me in a ring. I know you could, too. And I don't want violence, folks, but I cannot take it anymore, okay? People say, so you better settle down here and have a heart attack. Yeah, probably so. I mean, yesterday, I had like 50 articles. Type it in. Texas exceptionalism is to blame for no power. Texas sucks. Texas is a joke. Texans are idiots. Texans don't know how to do anything. Texans don't know how to have power. Blah, blah. And I had all the proof they turned off over 100 of our coal plants, and ERCOT's run by leftists under federal control. And I knew the windmills failed so awesome. I mean, I knew all that. I knew they were lying. But to know they're doing it while the Department of Energy ordered them to do it. Yeah, there's one of the, I mean, these things are everywhere. It's time to bury the myth of Texas exceptionalism. Well, I don't want to say I'm exceptional or Texas is exceptional, but compared to the blue cities and blue states we are, and they show an old lady in COVID mask in a wheelchair and everybody hunched over and pathetic because that's who they want you to think you are. That's why they do the blackouts. It's why they have the homeless everywhere. It's why they ship the drugs in. It's why they defund the police. It's why they demoralize us. It's why they have the army officers and others wear red high heels and learn how to get blowjobs. That's literally done. It's too demoralize everyone. And let me just say, it's not demoralizing me. It's turning me into Captain Caveman. So, these arrogant Ivy League and globalist EU bureaucrats that run things like ERCOT think you're an idiot and ran this whole thing so they can federalize the grid and bring in the scam. And that's the whole next level. Remember me on Tuesday saying 10,000% increases in prices, and people thought, I saw comments, Jones is exaggerating. Wait till I come back. So I'm going to try to control myself with my reporter hat on. Take some deep breaths. Take some deep breaths. Take some. Be a friendly, nice little bunny rabbit when I come back. And I'm going to show you all the documents and all the proof, and people that were getting $100 bills are getting $3,000 bills already from just a few days. So I guess the lucky people were the ones that had your power off, because those of you that had your power on, oh, lordy, lordy. And guess what's in the document? The Department of Energy told Texas, under federal law, you'll be prosecuted unless you exhaust outside power supplies first. So that was the whole reason, as I told you on Monday, because it's following the Enron plan, is they made tens of billions of dollars off Texans alone, these outside power groups, by ordering ERCOT to not up power, and then they had to under regulations pay whatever the groups wanted to charge, and they ripped this off. So on top of killing over 50 people that froze to death, including little kids, and the hundreds that died in car wrecks and all the rest of it, and all the cattle production and all the dead cattle and the milk cows and the hundreds of millions of gallons of milk getting dumped in the whatever, on top of all of that and hearing how Texas sucks and how Biden going to take over Texas and run it now because we don't know how to do anything, on top of all that, they're gouging the living snot out of us because they're technocrats and we sit here and take it.
If what Alex Jones just put on the table about Greg Abbott, our governor, this is a scandalous situation. And did he give in to the feds like is being alleged? And there is documents backing what Alex Jones was saying. This truly would be one of the most audacious mistakes that any governor could have made, because it impacted millions of Texans across the whole state. And it froze in a lot of people, and there are a lot of people that were harmed and a lot of businesses that were impacted and a lot of property that was impacted. Next, we have Pelosi saying 5 days before the inauguration that she's going to appoint General Honoré to doing something, to looking in to that January 6th, intrusion into the U.S. Capitol building. So here we go with Pelosi. And then Tucker Carlson, we're going to follow that with what Tucker Carlson says about General Honoré. Here we go next with what Pelosi thinks. There's a couple of clips here.
In just 5 days, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn in as President and Vice President of the United States. Following the attack last week on the Capitol complex, there's been unprecedented mobilization of security in the Capitol. I want to express gratitude to our Capitol Police, to the National Guard, who are present here to protect our democracy. They have shown great courage. We're very proud of them, and I was honored to be able to extend gratitude to them in person on behalf of the Congress. We must subject this whole complex, though, to scrutiny in light of what happened and the fact that the inauguration is coming. To that end, I have asked retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré to lead an immediate review of security infrastructure, interagency processes, and command and control. The general is a respected leader with experience dealing with crises. As a former vice director for operations, J3, with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, his focus was military support to civilian authorities. And he has experience with the national capital region's security. House leadership has worked with General Honoré, seen up close and personal his excellent leadership at the time of Katrina. Particularly Mr. Clyburn was the head of our Katrina task force. So he and I and others know full well how fortunate we are that the general has accepted as willing to do this. Members are moving forward with strong oversight from committees, of course, to have after-action review. There is strong interest in the Congress in a 9/11-type commission, an outside commission, to conduct that after-action review. In the meantime, I'm very grateful to General Honoré for taking on this responsibility. I find this to be a very emotional time. I've said to the members, we're very passionate to our reaction to this assault on our democracy, on this temple to democracy. We're very passionate about our reaction, but we must be very dispassionate in how we make decisions to go forward for security, security, security.
Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, says we must be dispassionate. No, this is anything but being dispassionate. And she's riling people up out there. And they're trying to point this U.S. intrusion towards Trump followers and supporters. And this is not right, because a lot of Trump followers and supporters were real patriots. But anyway, there's a clip here that insinuates that U.S. members of Congress might have been involved on this takeover of the Capitol, the intrusion or the riot that occurred there. Here we go next with that.
When we're talking about security, we have to talk about truth and trust. In order to serve here with each other, we must trust that people have respect for their oath of office, respect for this institution. We must trust each other, respecting the people who sent us here. We must also have the truth, and that will be looked into. If in fact it is found that members of Congress were accomplices to this insurrection, if they aided and abetted the crime, there may have to be actions taken beyond the Congress and in terms of prosecution for that.
End of this week, Tucker Carlson had this to say about General Honoré, and also the second clip, and I'll preface that and comment on that before I play it, had Josh Hawley saying what his opinion was of the statements made by General Honoré over a period of time. Josh Hawley, one of the most outstanding senators we have, U.S. senators we have from the great state of Missouri. But anyway, this is what Tucker Carlson said later in the week here, just recently, the last day or two, about General Honoré. Here we go next with that.
Well, speaking of CNN, Joe Biden was over there last night for a town hall. Did you see it? If you didn't catch it, you might not be alone. It's not clear that Joe Biden caught it. At one point, poor guy, he lost track of where he was and nearly walked right into the moderator. That was more than a social distancing violation. It was almost a head-on collision. There's some nervous laughter in the audience, but CNN didn't care. That's because when Biden finally got his whereabouts under control, he delivered exactly the message the network wanted him to deliver. White supremacy is the problem, he told us. It's a wide-ranging threat. It's the main problem. You've heard that so often that it probably doesn't register anymore. Every day, there's some KKK terrorist out there lying in wait. Where's the plot? Of course, they don't tell you where the plot is. But every moment the terrorists don't strike is just proof they're planning something even bigger and more sinister. There's no evidence this is true. They're creating extremism, by the way, by saying it. They seem to be pushing for it. It's crazy. Crazier than the Russia hoax. It's dangerous. This isn't just about taking down Mike Flynn or George Papadopoulos. It's dividing the country against itself. It's impugning people with the worst slur they have. And now it's being used as a pretext to marshal the force of the state against its own people. Nancy Pelosi is leading that effort. She's just announced that someone called retired General Russell Honoré of Louisiana will be leading a security review of what happened on January 6th, of the riot. Nancy Pelosi says General Honoré has been, quote, assessing our security needs by reviewing what happened on January 6th and how we must ensure that it does not happen again. But that's not right. General Honoré already has come to conclusions about what happened on January 6th. He's been very public about that. And you should know what those conclusions are and what kind of person he is. Just because his title is general doesn't mean that he's sane or not a wild-eyed partisan. On the day after the Capitol riot, Honoré suggested it was an inside job and that the sergeant-at-arms might be implicated in the plot.
There was some complicit actions at the Capitol police. A police chief has been fired, but now we need to look at a special investigation. Was he complicit along with the sergeant-at-arms in the House and the Senate? It gives appearance of complicity. They complied because they might have thought 45 was coming to the Capitol, and they gave way to the protesters who easily breached the Capitol. This is a crying damn shame.
What? Speaking of misinformation and conspiracy theories, there's no evidence for any of that. It's all made up. It's crazy. But he went on. In a radio interview that same day, General Honoré explained that conservatives on the Capitol Police Force were to blame when he was asked about what happened with security. Watch this.
By a percentage, 30 to 40% of the line officers are Trumpsters.
Yes. There you go.
All right. I got it.
That's the fact, Jack.
How would he know that? Well, of course, he doesn't know that. He doesn't have any idea. And who you voted for is irrelevant. These are sworn peace officers. They're doing their job. But General Honoré decided to attack them on the basis of speculation about their political beliefs. This is a problem that this guy would be in charge of anything. And that problem goes beyond General Honoré prejudging what happened at the Capitol on the basis of no knowledge. Like so many of our country's ex-generals, this guy's an authoritarian and an unhinged one. He understands how to use force to achieve political objectives. And it seems like he's being set up to use his military training against anyone who sees the world differently than he does. They'll be reclassified as domestic terrorists. Who are these people and what threat do they pose? Well, according to General Honoré, those threats include the Constitution and our Second Amendment. For real. He believes your right to defend yourself is dangerous. He said that, and we're quoting here. Quote, we can't permit Second Amendment rights at First Amendment protests. Really? Constitutional scholar, are you? Imagine a public figure with a general in front of his name making that statement. This is the guy Nancy Pelosi wants in charge of security. Honoré is not a fan of the First Amendment either, by the way. On Twitter, he attacked this network. He even told people to stop buying the, we can't use it, profanity, the crappy stocks of any company that advertises on Fox News, talking on the stock price of advertisers. He retweeted posts accusing the social media site Parler of being, and we're quoting now, 100% complicit in the January 6th riot. This is the guy. It's like putting Joy Reid in charge of security. This is insane. General Honoré believes that elected members of Congress, people like U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert, shouldn't be allowed to fly on commercial aircraft because of her political views. Quote, put her on a no-fly list. He said something similar about Senator Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri. Quote, this little piece of crap with his Yale law degree should be run out of D.C. and disbarred ASAP. Run out of D.C.? Really? What do you mean by that? Run out of D.C. and disbar. This is crazy. But this is the guy Nancy Pelosi has leading the security response to the Capitol riot. This should really worry you. Is this really about what happened in the Capitol on January 6th? No. It's about you and your rights. Rights that people like General Honoré and Nancy Pelosi view as the greatest threat of all. Josh Hawley was singled out by this man. He joins us now to respond. Senator, I appreciate your coming on tonight. This makes me genuinely nervous that someone like this could have any control over the so-called security at the U.S. Capitol or in Washington or in America.
Yeah, it's very disturbing, Tucker. I mean, some of the statements that the general has made are just downright crazy. You cited some of them. I mean, saying that Elise Stefanik, for instance, ought to be treated like a terrorist and not allowed to fly, put on the no-fly list. Also, his statements about law enforcement. This is somebody who this whole last year, Tucker, encouraged, condoned the violent rioting in our cities, said that federal law enforcement who were sent to Portland to protect the they were a mob themselves, said that they were acting like they were serving a dictator, attacked them for not being real soldiers. Those are his words. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it shows that Nancy Pelosi isn't interested in getting any facts. She's interested in power and in amassing power and an excuse to keep hold of power, including those thousands of troops who are still at the Capitol, who are still there treating it like an armed camp. Why? No one will say, but this is what Pelosi's interested in.
So I saw an internal memo today from House Republicans saying, you know, we're not going to question the presence of all those federal troops in Washington because there is some kind of threat, which they never explained. What a betrayal of the country, I would say. But beyond that, this is a guy running around calling himself general. I mean, shouldn't we be getting a little concerned at this point that the leadership of the U.S. military should be totally nonpartisan and not involved in these debates? I mean, are we sure that it still is?
Next coming up, I'm going to play the complete interview that Tucker Carlson had with Josh Hawley. And he does not question General Honoré's military record, but he says since he's retired, he's made some outlandish and some very disturbing pronouncements. So, and Pelosi's selecting him to analyze the security of what happened there at the U.S. Capitol or whatever. This is not the man to do that. But anyway, this is Josh Hawley being interviewed by Tucker Carlson in a little more detail. So here we go now with that interview.
He was singled out by this man. He joins us now to respond. Senator, I appreciate your coming on tonight. This makes me genuinely nervous that someone like this could have any control over the so-called security at the U.S. Capitol or in Washington or in America.
Yeah, it's very disturbing, Tucker. I mean, some of the statements that the general has made are just downright crazy. You cited some of them. I mean, saying that Elise Stefanik, for instance, ought to be treated like a terrorist and not allowed to fly, put on the no-fly list. Also, his statements about law enforcement. This is somebody who this whole last year, Tucker, encouraged, condoned the violent rioting in our city, said that federal law enforcement who were sent to Portland to protect the federal courthouse, he said that they were a mob themselves, said that they were acting like they were serving a dictator, attacked them for not being real soldiers. Those are his words. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it shows that Nancy Pelosi isn't interested in getting any facts. She's interested in power and in amassing power and an excuse to keep hold of power, including those thousands of troops who are still at the Capitol, who are still there treating it like an armed camp. Why? No one will say, but this is what Pelosi's interested in.
So I saw an internal memo today from House Republicans saying, you know, we're not going to question the presence of all those federal troops in Washington, because there is some kind of threat, which they never explain. What a betrayal of the country, I would say. But beyond that, this is a guy running around calling himself general. I mean, shouldn't we be getting a little concerned at this point that the leadership of the U.S. military should be totally nonpartisan and not involved in these debates? I mean, are we sure that it still is?
Yeah, well, this is somebody, this particular general, who's been retired now for a while, and I don't question his service to our country at all, Tucker. I applaud him for it, but he has been a partisan, a dedicated partisan, that's putting it mildly, since he left the military, an extreme left-wing Democrat, and you can just see it in the comments that he's made. But I'm concerned about what they're laying the groundwork for here, what Nancy Pelosi's doing. I'm concerned that they continue to treat the January 6th catastrophe, that criminal riot, as an excuse to seize power, to control more power, to step on people's Second Amendment rights, to take away their First Amendment rights. Now we're hearing about a domestic war on terror. I mean, what's that going to be? An excuse to go rifle through the emails and bank statements and personal messages of law-abiding Americans? I mean, this is very, very frightening stuff. And what Pelosi and the Democrats are doing here, trying to consolidate power, it's dangerous.
Please convince your fellow Republicans on the Hill to stand up for the country. Please. I think what you said is absolutely right. It needed to be said, and I hope others will say it. Thank you very much. Senator, good to see
you. Thank you.
Next is an interview with Alex Jones and Mancow, and both independently received information that there was a serious assassination attempt on President Trump on December 21st. Anyway, that's what starts this out, and then later they talk about Rush Limbaugh. He passed over this week and passed away, and they reminisce a little bit. Mancow knew him personally, and Mancow gives some personal glimpses into him and his relationship with Rush Limbaugh, who was the leading conservative broadcaster, radio broadcaster in the country. So here we go with these clips now.
What are they going to do as they just get the borders open and they triple the drug prices and the power's going off and everything's collapsing and they're calling everyone racist and saying America sucks? I mean, this sucks. The Democrats suck.
Alex, a source told me that on December 21st of last year, there was an assassination attempt that got real close to Trump. And I am told from my source, again, take it or leave it, I don't really care at this point in my life, but it's an incredible source. I mean, one of the best sources you can have.
Secret Service.
I'm not going to say.
I was told the same thing.
This is pretty big news that nobody's talked about. So the 21st, there's been many attempts that we don't know about. But my understanding is they got very close to him and they said, look, you're too hot, we can't protect you anymore. Basically, the deep state said, shut up, go away, or you're dead and your family's dead. I don't think we're going to see, I don't know. I think I'm already wrong, because I didn't think we would see a return of Trump. And then he showed up at that the President's Day event. So I didn't think we'd see him again.
Okay, I've been asked not to say what you just said. So now that you've said it, I'm going to go ahead and bring all this out on the other side.
Well, I want to say that's what someone told me. Okay, I've heard lots of crazy stuff.
Well, let me just tell you that you know they already beat up
Roger. This is a very good source, but I'm not going on the record.
Well, part of the message was they beat up Stone's wife in front of her house, put her in a hospital, and then I wasn't even supposed to talk about it until later. People thought it happened like 3 days later. No, it happened before. And I was told all this by lawyers in the White House of the assassination attempts, of the threats. Trump was totally surrounded, and I'm on air telling people, and the Q folks are like, shut up, Jones, we're invincible. And I'm like, no, we're not invincible. He's totally surrounded. God almighty. And we walked right in the trap.
Okay, Alex, I got something big to tell you from inside the White House.
Bon voyage, Rush Limbaugh. See you on the other side. Modern Talk Radio, Fox News, all of it owes to Rush Limbaugh and the vision of Roger Ailes. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have put up any fight. They had to trailblaze when there was no free speech, no broadcast media. Reagan had gotten rid of the Fairness Doctrine. They had moved forward, but nobody was challenging it. Ailes went out, leased the radio stations, put Limbaugh on. It was a giant hit. They then got other talk show hosts like Mancow Muller, who's about to be joining us, longtime friends with, of course, Rush Limbaugh. Hopefully he'll tell some of the stories here, but he's a pretty private guy. And that's why we owe so much to Rush Limbaugh. 30 years of them trying to censor him and take him off the air, and he fought through all of it, then fought through going deaf, fought through, you know, being in an automobile accident and having back pain and getting addicted to painkillers. He was a human. He was pro-war. Mancow criticized him for some of those wars, but he really thought it was the right thing to do, and he loved America, and the globalists hated him. And he sure got more hardcore over the years as it was proven that we were right about this whole globalist program. And so I thought I'd just play the last 30, 40 seconds of his final broadcast from, what was it, February 4th, where he said he'd been so sick that he had to have a backup host, or February 2nd, he had to have a backup host there the entire time. And so he fought through it like a champ and through the election. And again, I just salute Rush Limbaugh, and I salute the First Amendment, and I salute his perseverance. And you know a man by his enemies, and they are celebrating in the streets because they think they've got America down. They think there's another sign of their supremacy, but I smell their defeat in the future. Here are Rush Limbaugh's final broadcast words.
My friends, that's it. Yet another excursion into broadcast excellence in the can. Enjoyed being with you today. Always do. And look forward to the next time. Thanks to Mark Stein, who has been in standby mode all day. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to go today. And then each hour I had to assess. But we made it. Thank you, Mr. Stein. See you all next time.
But you never know. You never know if there'll be a next time, whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old. So, Eric Mancow Muller, you're somebody that's known Limbaugh for 30 years. And, of course, we were showing some 60 Minutes clips from 1992. You were actually, you know, there broadcasting in the building that day. They were there. And let's just be honest. You had your own fights with Rush. You're more of a libertarian, nationalist, populist. He was more of a Republican Party guy. He thought that was the most important thing. And I see that we don't want the neocons to set up a new party to make sure Republicans lose. We want to take the Republican Party over. So I think Limbaugh was always right about that. But we're more of, you know, we the people guy. He was more of a Republican guy. But he did it out of a place, I think, of thinking it was the right thing to do. So not to speak ill of the dead. Mancow, thank you for joining us from your home. I know snowed in up in beautiful Chicago.
When wilt thou free the people, O God of mercy, when? The people, Lord, the people, not crowns and thrones, but men. These are the arguments I would have with Rush. I loved Rush. Two Missouri brothers. I'm going to miss that old mule. He gave me advice. He was very supportive of me and my career. There was a few times when he couldn't help me, and he didn't. It was still business, and he was a competitive guy. I will tell you the two times, Alex, if you care. And again, I'm looking at my friend Ron Perlman, who's been on my radio show a lot. I was on Sons of Anarchy with him, and he's saying we're going to celebrate in hell with Rush, and he feels sorry for the devil having to be with Rush in hell. And it just sickens me what I'm seeing today. So I hate to bring up any negatives, but we talked about everything yesterday. And I wonder if you would like to tell me what those arguments were about.
Well, I would like you to tell us about those arguments. You told me you had quite a few with Rush, but.
Well, no, there were two big ones, and I'll tell you the two big ones. I felt that, you know, look, we're two kids from Missouri. I grew up on a dirt road. My nearest neighbor was a half mile away, and it wasn't a kid a half mile away in Suicide Falls, Missouri. And I didn't like when Rush was supporting George W. Bush and the big tax increase. They said no new taxes, or was it the former Bush? Whichever Bush it was.
It was Bush, you know, Senior. Big, read my lips, no new taxes.
Yeah. The big spending people. And I would say, Rush, you didn't support it with Bill Clinton. I had the same argument with him during the Obama administration. You're against all this big government, but you were okay with all this big government after 9/11. So these are the kind of things when I talked to you that we would argue about. And I have the same kind of arguments with Sean Hannity. I've never been a party first kind of guy. And but Rush believed that. And you also have to think, what were our choices? What other choice did Rush have? I guess you dance with the one who brung you. But I've never been a party guy. But, you know, are you going to pick the Libertarian candidate? I mean, I hosted the Libertarian convention one year. And what a group of buffoons. So what do we do, Alex? You and I, guys like us, yeah, we back outsiders, visionaries, but they have no chance in hell of winning. So Rush was going with the winner, I guess.
Well, sure. Here's the good news. Trump would never got him elected without Rush Limbaugh building the platform. So you see that our movement to radicalize the Republicans and make them American and take over a party has been somewhat successful. That's why the left and the globalists are so panicked right now. So at the end of the day, Rush was right about not breaking up the Republican Party. Where he was wrong was those damn wars, which we now know were based on lies. But I also understand the instinct that America's going to war. Once we're going to war, you know, because the troops are there, you want to back it. But I think that's really the black mark on Rush. But it doesn't matter. You knew him well. I know a lot of people knew him well. And I've got black marks myself. I'm not perfect. The key is he really believed it was the right thing to do. He wasn't doing it like Dick Cheney for power and money. Let's talk about the Rush Limbaugh you knew when you first met him. Let's talk about some of your reflections now in hindsight.
Well, you know, Alex, the advice I would give any man, and I wonder if you would comment on this, don't ever get your wife a boob job. Because they want to show everybody. It ruins marriages. I've never known a guy who got his wife a boob job and it didn't ruin the marriage. What am I talking about? I sound insane. I understand. Well, it's the fat girl thing. In fact, I teased him a couple times early on and called him fat girl. You know, look, we're from Missouri. The way we teased was brutal. We were straight talkers. And so, you know, he had, I don't want to overplay this like, you know, the Oliver Stone movie where Nixon's looking at a steak and it's bleeding. The blood from Vietnam. I'm not going to say that, but I think Rush had some insecurities. And I think he was bold in overcoming his insecurities. Look at him there. You know, he got in shape. He married a hot woman and moved down to Florida. But, you know, in the backwoods of Missouri, being a fat boy where we're from, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, he was teased and laughed at. And, of course, all the other radio hosts, they didn't have anything on talent, so they went low. You know, the Howard Stern types. And, oh, he's fat. Look at him. He's fat. He's so fat. But I think it got to him early on. And then finally, you know, the guy had so much money and power. Yeah, I'm fat. You know, I just have to laugh. I think about William Shatner, a friend of mine who was, you know, just a great guy. But he said, you know, I'd rather be a has-been than it ever was. I love all these losers coming out peeing on Russia's grave today. What a group of losers. Hollywood is so bankrupt. Radio is a leper colony. And the upper ups at Cumulus Media, they didn't know what to do with Rush. They didn't agree with him. They didn't understand the audience. They don't understand my audience. They don't understand the people. They don't understand the pain that's going on out there right now. And Rush came from that. Rush came from the center of America, from the Bible Belt. He believed in God. By the way, you talk about America being down and out. There I am with Bill. Love him. Captain Kirk. But no, Alex, look, we know things are going to get bad for a while. But you and I also know, because we've read the book, that good wins and God wins. So let them laugh. Let them have fun. They like to cheer and scream in the morning at night. That's what devils do. And in the end, they're going to have to stand before their maker.
Here's what Millennium Report is saying about the January 6th intrusion. And coming from SOTN exclusive, the captivating D.C. drama was staged by the left to demonize the right and to terminate GOP objections to the Electoral College fraud, which it did in the dead of the night. It goes on, the Democrats were desperate to shut down the congressional objections to the Electoral College votes. Once various U.S. senators expressed their objections, battleground state by battleground state, the truth about the brazenly stolen election was televised for the first time since the steal occurred. Deep state would not permit the evidence to be disseminated like this. Way too damning. The official record of the joint session of Congress on January 6th would forever contain conclusive evidence of the stolen 2020 President of the United States election. So they staged a dramatic swarming of the Capitol building in order to distract everyone's attention. This black operation was led by Antifa anarchists disguised as Trump supporters. That's why the security at TCB was so lax, to prevent the storming of the building so that Trumpsters would look bad. It is true that there were many MAGA protests among those who entered the TCB, but they were there to stop the steal, given the soft coup by stolen ballot. That was being rubber-stamped by the U.S. Congress. The MAGA protesters have every right to shut down the unlawful, treasonous process. If you go to Millennial Report, you can read the complete report that they have. And I can't debate or dispute the premise that they're establishing here, because I've been studying this New World Order or this deep state or whatever for between 1982 onward. So I've been at studying this for about 38 years. And so I've been able to discern and to dig down deep into many, many research sites and individuals' books. There have been all about 300 to 400 books written on the New World Order and so forth. And you'd have to say that they were written from a conspiratorial viewpoint. But men at the top of this system do conspire together. They do consort and collude together to make more money and to enslave us with all kinds of mind control. One of the little sayings that originated years ago was physical superiority orchestrating money hyphen mind sorcery. And basically, what I laid out in some of my broadcasts, along with Charlotte Littlefield Brown, is that the propensity, once you gain power, the propensity is to maintain and increase that power and money, and power and money, that goes together. But really, when you look at how this so-called pyramid of power is set up, the very top, you know, Eisenhower, when he concluded his second term of office, he warned us about the military-industrial state. Well, he left out one of the major, you could say, parts of that. He should have warned us about the military-industrial-financial states. And those working together have really subverted our ideals and our freedoms and our liberties over the decades. And they've been able to through the university system, dominate and to revise and to, you could say, scorch over or, besmirch, you could say, the U.S. Constitution into making people think differently of it than it really exists. Yes, those founding fathers, that several, many of them were slaveholders, and that's not right. It's not right then. It's not right today. But the very system that they established had a balance of checks and balances of the three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. And these have been, subverted, I guess is the term. These have been slowly over decades of slow insidious, you could say, deprecation of the of those principles and ideas have been assaulted and destroyed to some degree, and instead the solution that has been put forward is that we need a collective state to continue the United States of America or America itself instead of the democratic republic that we have. And those that are new to listening to this, the republic saves us, and the Constitution, the first 10 amendments were promised to the anti-federalist at the first session of Congress, which was held in New York City. And so Congress did keep their promise and added to the Constitution 10 amendments. And those 10 amendments were to protect individuals against the state. That's why freedom of religion and freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms, they were placed there at the beginning. It limited government in their assault on individuals without legal process, like habeas corpus, where you have to, if you're brought before a court, you have a certain minimum time that they have to charge you or release you. So you have to be informed quickly after you're arrested and taken before a magistrate of why you have been detained or arrested. And so, you know, the Democratic Republic set those up. Well, we're still being saved even today by some of these elements of the 10 Bill of Rights. Now they've added a great deal more than that onto that. So we've got to be careful about just making it unlimited. But also the Constitution states that those powers and rights reserved by the federal government and not allocated by them in the U.S. Constitution then are states' rights. And so the battle is ongoing between states' rights and federal rights. And Trump wanted to provide a greater number, former President Trump, wanted to provide a greater ability for states to exercise those rights that were not reserved and designated to the federal government. And so he had every right to continue that, but they don't want that kind of a system. The controllers, the elitists at the very top, want to subjugate people to a new world order, a new world plantation of control and manipulation, and the doling out through benefits and entitlement programs, total control over all the citizens of the world. And that's where the environmental angle comes in, is that the environmentalism has been taught from K to 12 and onward into our colleges for decades now in this country. So when you're dealing with people that believe in global warming or believe in this thing that they've renamed climate change, then you're dealing with a long-term, you could say, person that has been propagandized and conditioned into believing a certain way about nature and the environment and things like this. So they're very highly emotional about what they believe, because the whole system of education has been centered around teaching them a system that could later be used by the elitist and the deep state for control purposes. So there's one man up there in New York State that's written a whole book about environmentalism being a political control mechanism. And I certainly, Dr. Gibson, wrote that. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And God bless each and every one of you. And we just hope we can come through all this well. Thank you.